Kind of the classic sax thing. So Jeff is actually preparing a reed to play on his saxophone.
I don't know what the hell I'm going to play because I don't remember anything.
Should have brought off the
top of my head. It reminds me of, you know, I used to play clarinet in high school, and it was a rented clarinet, so, you know, rented from a music store. But I don't remember how to play any of the notes were. It's been so long.
Well, the funny story I actually have about the saxophone, we'll wait till after. You play us a little snippet?
Tell your story.
All right, okay. Well, I was teaching out in a store called in Poland, Ohio, and I don't want to give them any advertisement. However, she basically was like an after-school thing where a lot of school students came from there, like marching band and stuff like that. And obviously, I'm a guitar major, so I was teaching guitar, and I would fill in for piano lessons and stuff like that. And I don't think I ever did vocal lessons. However, I did a lot of drum lessons, too. But their saxophone teacher, basically, something happened with them where he got fired or just quit. And so there was a saxophone student that didn't have a teacher for a time slot. So she sucked me on it as subbing it. And I subbed this student for a month. I never played sax in my entire life. I didn't know any of the fingerings. I didn't know how to play a damn note on the saxophone. And I'm supposed to teach a student how to play a saxophone. I can read music. However, apparently saxophone is, I don't know if they read it slightly different or something like that, but it was weird. Like, I don't know anything about the sax. And it's brass. Woodwinds and brass instruments are a completely different thing. But she's just like, she starts playing these notes, and I'm like, okay, you're supposed to be playing an A here, and I'm plucking it on my guitar. And I'm like, this is what an A note sounds like, and she's singing something completely different. And she goes, well, this is what the fingering is for an A note. And I'm like, is this correct?
Who's Jeff playing?
Actually, I found some sheet music actually can read here, so
all right.
Let's see if I can play it. I've never played this song before.
Theme song to Indiana Jones 5.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's Indiana Jones.
Well, at least you could tell what I was playing.
At least you could tell what I was playing. I think that's plenty
of...
That's about how bad the latest Indiana Jones movie was. So...
Hey, I can still read sheet music.
Yeah, no, that's a cool thing. I could never do that with
especially a, since usually music is along the things of like kind of like golf. You got to do it every day to actually be good at it. I mean, it's a language of its own.
Yep,
it's like knowing a language. If you don't speak French for 10 years, you're not going to really know how to speak it. Unless, of course, you went to school for that shit.
I seem to have had an aptitude for playing instrument, but I didn't have the work ethic. I hated practicing.
Yeah.
Or the music teachers just tell everyone that they have the aptitude for playing music.
That's a lot of it, too. My high school band teacher would just pull in any single student he possibly could just so he can have his own category to win awards, basically. So he would have the largest marching band that no other category like compared to him because they did, I guess, depending on how many students were involved in it. And he would be first place because he was the only person in his category. I was never involved in... I joined marching band for maybe, like, literally a semester of high school and dropped out. And he hated me for my rest of my high school career.
Yeah.
I was a theater musical.
I only took band from... What grade did we start doing band? Fourth grade?
For brass and woodwinds is fourth grade. Strings. I started strings in third grade.
Yeah. I remember violins and stuff started in third grade.
Fourth
grade was. So I started playing sax in fourth, and I played up until.
Yeah.
I think I was in band up until eighth grade. I didn't take band in ninth grade.
I took band in 10th grade.
The middle school band teacher really just turned me off the whole process.
I only joined marching band for the fact so I can be in jazz band.
Well, it's funny you say jazz band because, so, you know, I was in band in, you know, 8th grade or whatever, and they had jazz band, and I don't know, I signed up for jazz band, and the teacher had me because I was playing the baritone sax.
And no one else was
really that no playing one was playing baritone, yeah, right?
Exactly. That's why and, I was baritone trumpet.
But in band, in regular band, if I was playing bad or missing notes, you know, she would bitch me out. In jazz band, I knew I was missing shit, probably worse than in regular band, and she would not say anything, right? Because it was all voluntary or something. Like.
Yeah.
So, like, she let me be all shitty in jazz band.
Mine was horrible. Like, I only joined marching band for the fact that he made it mandatory that if you were in jazz band, you had to be in marching band. And I just wanted to play guitar. I just wanted to play guitar in jazz band. So he made me join marching band, and I decided not to show up at band camp at all. So I skipped the entire summer of band camp, and I showed up for day one of my 10th grade sophomore year of high school, and he goes, you got to transfer out of this class. You didn't show up for marching band at all, so you can't be in here. And I'm like, all right, fine. Can I show up tonight for marching band? He goes, all right, fine. You can show up tonight. So I never learned how to play the baritone trumpet. I just walked around just going, just holding the damn instrument up and learned how to march.
It's a baritone trumpet. I don't even...
It's a baritone. It's a big, fat-looking trumpet, basically.
Okay.
I'm horrible at anything that involves, like, blowing stuff. I'm just bad at it. Sorry.
But yet you were trying to tutor people playing sax, huh?
Oh, that's what I mean. That's the irony of it. Right. She had me trying to teach them, and I had no idea what to do because I didn't know the fingers. She didn't know how to play an A note, and I'm going, oh, that's not correct. And she goes, well, is this what the fingerings are? And I'm like, sure. I had no idea. I feel bad because I just took the parents' money and did nothing for their daughter at all. The only thing I did, I would teach her as if I was teaching a vocal student. I just teach them basically how to use their abdominals and stuff like that and everything around that to get her air circulation going correctly. That was the best I could do. I'd have no idea how to play a damn saxophone.
I could teach you.
Let's see here. That's what's nice about being a performance major. By the way, I don't have to learn other instruments.
Here's an A.
There you go.
There's the A.
There's the A.
That's the A.
I have no idea. What am I supposed to... It's upside down. So that was my card?
That was your card.
All right. Yeah, that was correct.
Yay!
I mentioned in the regular show that I have a funny story about Newcastle. I worked a guitar clinic. Which, for those who do not know what a guitar clinic is, it's basically some famous guitar player, some very, very, very talented guitar player, or any talented musician shows up, and they do a giant master class. Well, not master class, but they do a giant class for students. For people who just show up. And they teach you guitar and things that you can do to improve yourself and what they do for their technique. Well, a guy named Guthrie Govan... I don't know if anyone would know him. He's a very famous English guitar player. He's from, like, Liverpool. I don't honestly know where he's from exactly. But he's somewhere in England. And I got to have, like, conversation and stuff like that with him. And I had to ask him because this was sometime last year or whatever. And I'm just getting into the whole craft beer idea. And I asked him, I was like, I heard that British people said Newcastle is piss. It is, like... the Iron City beer for Pittsburgh. That is what Newcastle is for England. So I was sitting there talking, I just interrupted him. I'm going, Guthrie is Newcastle. And he instantly shakes his head and he just goes, okay, rolls his eyes. And I'm like, so is it true that Newcastle is absolutely piss in England? And he goes, oh, it's absolute piss. If you show up in England and order a Newcastle, we automatically know you're foreign. And I'm just like, really? And he goes, let me explain it to you. It is the shittiest beer I have ever tasted in my life. And I'm sorry for doing an Irish accent with that.
You're doing a pretty good Irish accent.
Irish. I'm strongly Irish. However, I have a very Anglo-Saxon
definitely not
name.
Definitely not Liverpool, though.
No.
It reminds me of...
And then we had a great conversation about how Canadian French... sorry, Dr. Fowler, but Canadian French do not speak... true French, but it was a great thing. But he mentioned, he's just like, yeah, if you ever show up in England, never order a Newcastle. They automatically know for the fact that you've never been there before.
If you show up in England, if you want to get a guaranteed awesome beer, I would go for Fuller's ESB. That's a fantastic beer that you never go wrong with. Probably one of the best ESBs.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, I've never been to England. From what I gather, there is...
I'm sure there's awesome.
Well, there's two things. Yeah. There's the local pub slash brewery culture, right? So each pub's a tight house, and you know, you really can't just go anywhere and get a Fuller's, right?
Yeah.
There's that kind of thing. And then also that Budweiser is just taking over the world, and it's, you know, you go to a normal bar, it's not a pub that has a tight house, it's just gonna be a Budweiser.
Well, your story reminds me of Foster's commercials talking about how, oh, Foster's is Australian for beer, right? And then yeah. It's like No one in Australia drinks Foster's.
Yeah, it's the same as me. I mean, yeah. Newcastle, you come to America, everyone yeah. seems, oh, it's an English beer. Everyone drinks it. Guthrie Govan, put the stamp. No.
I like to think that the beer culture in America has significantly changed. Maybe it's because we're immersed in it, so we see it differently. But, you know, when we started the show, you could not go to a bar and get a craft beer. And now they're... I can't think of a bar that doesn't have at least one or two craft
hipsters.
Taps on. It's not a hipster phenomenon. It isn't anymore.
I mean, every time I go to a bar, everyone around me just drinks Miller Lite or something, Budweiser. I rarely see people drink Bud.
Well, those are still very popular.
Still 93% yeah. of the beer yeah. sold, so...
Really? That's yeah. the percentage of...
Micro beer, yeah.
Really?
Like 93%, yeah. Wow. Craft beer is like 7 or 8% of the market.
Mm-hmm. And most of that, or a damn good percent of that, is Sam Adams.
Yeah, Sam Adams is...
Sam Adams has some good beers, though.
No, they do make good beers, but it's one company that's a craft brewer that has half the craft market.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I can't stand Miller, Icy, I can't stand Bud.
Good. I think that's different from a year ago.
Yeah.
I've never really been able to enjoy okay. them. I mean, I started with like craft beer... with Sierra Nevada, mm-hmm, Magic mm-hmm. Hat, and along those yeah. lines of that. That's where I got my beginnings, because that's what's around.
I mean, I can take a Budweiser or a Miller Lite, and I can enjoy certain parts of it, I think. I think I've learned enough to be able to enjoy certain parts of it, but I'm not going
Is enjoy the right word?
Appreciate.
Tolerate.
I don't know. No, tolerate's mm-hmm. not the right word, because there are things I can pick out, especially now that, you know, I know how to look for certain characteristics in yeast and things like mm-hmm. that. I can pick out things that I was not able to pick out before. But I would always rather have craft beer than any of those yeah. things.
I mean, I honestly, whenever I try, I will drink Miller Lite if there's nothing else around yeah. at the house. At the party I am, but I just can't. It's very just bland and just very watery and just,
yeah. I mean, it's not supposed to be
exciting.
Yes,
like that's the thing I love. That's why I took up on the fact that you're like, hey, come out and do another craft beer show. I get to drink fantastic beers that I've never been introduced to before. Of course, I'm gonna come out and enjoy it. That's why I'm a big. You know me, I love wines.
Yeah.
I'm really big into wines, and that's the thing, is that it tells the story, as you mentioned in the regular show, that like if I would open up a bottle of wine today, it's going to taste different than any other day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that I think is drawing me into the craft beer, especially now that I'm becoming more, what's the word I'm looking for? Accustomed
if
to
you,
the taste.
If you like these, I'd recommend if you want to look for something that is similarly challenging but also has even deeper, look for old ales. Mm-hmm. To me, old ales are really one of my favorite styles, because it's a little bit more chocolatey and fruity, but has the great ones tell such an amazing story.
I mean, because like, we drank a Dogfish Head, and the only other Dogfish I've ever had was their IPA.
Right, 60 Minute?
Yeah, and I hate it.
Really?
I just don't like it. I prefer Sierra Nevada IPA any day over top of Dogfish Head. But it's the same as I think. But then again,
I don't like 60 Minute.
I think 60 Minute is a little bland.
But then again, I mean, I love like Headhunter from.
Oh, Headhunter's fantastic.
That's a different class.
Headhunter yeah,
is so good.
Amazing.
I mean, Fatheads. I love Fatheads Brewery. I mean, yeah. Guten Hoppy. I love their Oompa Loompa. They're really dark brown. It's like a brown ale.
Yeah. Oompa Loompa's their chocolate stout.
Yeah, it is yeah. so good. And my favorite, I get, and then their Bumbleberry. Like, oh, I love Fatheads Brewery.
Fatheads makes great
Matt,
stuff.
They make some.
Yeah,
really,
Matt Cole's a brewer there. He makes.
I've never had a
amazing
bad beer
stuff.
From Fatheads.
It's stunning that, you know, they came out of the gates and started making what they were making. And it was a brew pub, hard to find. I never had Headhunter.
I'm trying to think of other breweries that did that similar.
I never had Headhunter won all these awards. It was never available because they just couldn't make it. And then they opened this production brewery in Cleveland, right? Mm-hmm. And you can get Headhunter any day of the week now.
Yeah.
And it's one of the best beers in the world.
It is so good. If you've never had a Headhunter Fatheads, do yourself a favor. Yeah. Get a Headhunter Fatheads.
Talking to a lot of people that can't get it.
Yeah,
but if you're here in the Pittsburgh and Cleveland,
Ohio.
If you're between Pittsburgh and Cleveland, you can get it any day of the week. Mm-hmm. It's insane that a beer that good is that available.
The other brewer I know of who came out of the gates and just was just throwing amazing shit left and right is Patrick Grew. I mean,
oh, the brewery, yeah.
Yeah, his stuff is out of this world, and it's amazing. And you can get some of it around here, but most of the rare stuff are very hard to find. But man, is it good! It's California, okay. So
yeah, you can get their stuff. If you go to Vintage Estates, they'll have their stuff. And
any way to order this stuff in, like Fatheads? Is there any way to mail that stuff or no?
Fatheads, you can just go buy it anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, obviously for us,
right.
This area, but for anyone who's not,
there are some mail order places. It's
depends on your state, really.
Depends on where you live, on how legal it is. There's a place in Lawrenceville you can get some brewery, Caliente Pizza Bar. They drive over to Philly and pick up beers from wholesalers over there that aren't available here. So you'll find Firestone Walker and the brewery and Scar City and stuff there. I don't know the prices. I've heard that they don't clean their draft lines properly, which is a bit insane for this beer geek bar that drives all the way.
They're spending all this
time.
They
drive to Philly to pick up beers, but then they have dirty tap lines, which seems kind of stupid.
It's probably just someone who just had a bad experience there, making up some.
I respect the person who told me this. In the local beer scene, I haven't been to Caliente. I need to go.
Was it Keith?
It wasn't Keith. I don't. It's kind of gray. I'm not going to really fault them if they want to drive to Philly and buy beers they can't get from the local wholesalers. And and it's not breaking any laws. Go for it.
Go to Vintage Estates, get an amazing selection of beer. And Chalet Premier. Go to Chalet Premier first. They're cheaper. They have not as big a selection, but they're really close. And then go to Vintage Estates for the rest of them. You can easily spend $200 on beer there. Easily. I've done it several times.
Yeah. Except I don't have $200 in my account. I'm kind of spending a lot of money on this schooling and trying to live things. So beer is my second choice.
When I was working in West Virginia, it was a nice jaunt over to Youngstown to get some stuff for the show, and got a lot of really great stuff there.
That's the thing I like about Youngstown. Like there's a bar out in Youngstown since you mentioned it. It's called O'Donnell's, and they have a selection.
Yeah,
they truly do have a fantastic selection. That's my go-to bar whenever I'm at school, because I mean I go to Youngstown State, so it's two blocks over, and that's my go-to bar. Yeah. I mean O'Donnell, they just have rows. I mean they have fantastic selection.
Ask for an Old Ale next time you're there. I'm sure they have one.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's where I actually started getting introduced to a lot of my craft beer was through O'Donnell's, just because I'd see an interesting tap. Ask them about it. They tell me the details on it and go straight to it. I'm proud to say I don't ever really. The last time I had a Newcastle was a long time.
what Jeff and I recommend, I think, is that every time we go to a bar, we try to drink something new. We try to drink something we haven't had before.
That's the way I am. That's the way I've come. That's the way I became now. Is where I go there and the first thing I do, I ask for a beer menu and I look for something I never tried and I ask them about the details on it and see if it's gonna go towards my fancy, and then I'll order it. You hit or miss. Sometimes you don't like them, but majority of the time I'm pretty easy to please. Yep. I'm the guy that gives 5-star ratings to every single movie I see and every single book I saw just because it entertained me. I'm very easily entertained.
Well, let me ask you about this then, because this has been bugging me a little bit. D&D.
Okay.
So Jeff doesn't know about
Dungeons and Dragons.
Much about Dungeons and Dragons.
However, we are
playing Pathfinder, which is a Paizo company.
But you don't know about the specifics of what happens or anything is, but you go through these periods where, let me be frank here, you're by far the best Dungeon Master of anyone in the play. But then you get this period where you're like, oh, I don't want to DM. And we have to put up with subpar DMs for however long you do that.
That has a lot to do with the fact that I just become overwhelmed with real life. I mean, I'm a full-time student.
Uh-huh.
I work, as of now, I'm currently working 3 jobs, 4 if you include my performance, because that is an income. I receive quite a substantial amount weekly on that. So I just become tired. And that just comes down to the fact that I didn't have time that week to design anything, to come up with any creative things, because I like to be very creative. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I'm a music guy and I'm very creative. Uh-huh. So I think a lot of that has to do with, and also I'm a literature guy. I would have been an English major if I didn't choose music, and so I think a lot of that's just also the fact that I also get bored with with creating this. I like being able to be a character where I can act.
See,
and
the problem with that is that without a good DM,
it sucks. I know.
Yeah.
I know. And I've tried finding great DMs. There's only been about 2 DMs in my life that I actually enjoyed that was not me per se. And that was my father,
mm-hmm.
and a guy that I don't remember his name, but I played Dungeons and Dragons with him at Century 3 Mall for like 3 months, and he was fantastic. He got into the detail. That's one of the things I like to do.
Yeah.
I get every time when I come up with the story, I have every single character. I'll spend like literally 50 some pages on just character build, and every single character has a different personality and somewhat original. I mean, you see where I get my influences, but it's very original, and I tell a story. I look at DMing as more as a miniature novel, a novella, I can say so, that has not been fully published until the game has finished. Rather than most of the DMs that we have encountered and played with, Greg and I together, they're just very bland and they watch TV and get their ideas that way.
Yes.
But thank you, I really do appreciate the compliment on the fact that I spend hours on it, and just lately, I mean, it's every, if you haven't noticed though, it's always near the end of like finals week, like when finals are starting to come up, I start getting pushing away from DMing because then I'm just like, oh shit, I gotta practice and study and get rid of everything
else. So you're saying that the other DMs are like, to the west you see Jeffrey Lannister.
No joke. That is to a T. That is exactly what it is. We were joking. Good thing he doesn't listen to this radio show.
Yeah.
But he mentioned a thing like a month ago about to our other guy who has DM'd, and he goes, in the middle of the gameplay, Greg just looks at him and goes, I just gotta mention that you are not original at all in anything that you do. Look at your character name. What is his name? Robert? Robert what? Robert Baratheon. There you go. You were not original in anything that he did.
That's Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I know.
The company that was that we were doing stuff in was Wolfram and Hart, which was from Angel.
Yeah, I wouldn't have caught that because I don't watch these TV shows.
I only
knew
that because of a Cracked video. That's the only way I picked that up, because they referenced that. all his... Everything that he does is
ripping off me or something else, because he has ripped off me countless of times to where he's actually even taken my dungeon models and done stuff around them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, imitation is a serious form of flattery. So I mean, there's something to go with that. And I
rip off people.
Yeah, I mean,
come on. I mean, that's every great idea has been ripped off of someone.
If everything he did was ripped off, but it was still in her dungeon, it was still, you know...
A lot of it also thinks of the fact that I have a theater background.
Yeah.
I've been acting since I was, like, 10.
I think that's it, too.
And that's another thing. I act. I give different characters. I give different voices, personalities. I literally have notes on just one character. I'll have one page of paper that's like, this person's very timid, this person's very shy, this person's very arrogant. And I'll have different tics and everything else they do about them. So every single character is slightly different. You can tell when I am tired and just improvising due to the fact that it just becomes bland.
Good DM. See? You know, a good DM.
And I pre-warn you guys, though. I pre-warn you. I'll be like, look, I've had a busy week. So you're not going to get the whole, hey, how are we doing? Like the hunchback shit where I stand up and act it out like I'm LARPing all the time.
But, I mean, DM is kind of a group improv, right?
Where it is. Everything. That's the thing I enjoyed about Vin Diesel said it great. Vin Diesel is a huge D&D player. Yeah. Or at least was back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, he is. Loved Dungeons and Dragons. Vin Diesel loved it. And he said the great thing about it was it literally helped to improve his acting ability. It helped to improve his intelligence. That's the thing I enjoy about the game. It's a problem-solving game. It forces you to cooperate, become a leader. It literally helps develop personality in yourself in portraying this creativity around you. And it is one of the most fascinating games, not just because I'm a nerd, like nobody's like belief, but just because of the fact that it does help you in the real world. It helps you become a leader in society because it forces you to encounter things.
I don't know if I would go that far with the description, but...
All right, some people it does.
What it does do is it...
Like Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel.
Yeah, a leader in society.
I personally think it does. I mean, some people. It really encounters who you truly are.
Yeah.
Because you can see the personalities of everyone. Like, you can tell, like, our one friend, he's very quiet. He always sits in the background. Me, I'm very loud and obnoxious. Yeah. And I say whatever I feel like saying, and I automatically take control. So I think it just helps. It's more experience.
Yeah, no, I think that what D&D does is it remove some of the shackles from the games that you're used to playing, where there are very tight walls around what you can do.
Pac-Man.
And with D&D, the walls fall apart. You can do anything you want to within a
limitations, because I'm a big believer in rules and law and order, and I follow the book rather than some of the DMs we've had have never even read a fucking book.
I mean, that's the point. There are rules. But the whole point is that...
Life says you can't jump up 20 feet in the air. You know what? You can't do it in D&D either.
Yeah, the whole point is that the rules are very specific, but...
They're bendable.
They're bendable, but not only that, but they're much more open than most other rule sets that you're dealing with.
Well, I'm not a big video game player.
Right.
You've come to encounter it. I'm not a big TV watcher. I like movies, but I only watch them when I really go out to the movies. I'm not really into that whole thing because me personally, I feel like I just played a video game for 3 hours. What have I proved with my life? I'm good at this video game, but that is all.
I can tell you what I dislike the most about D&D, and that is the combat mechanic.
The combat mechanic is a lot better with miniatures.
It
becomes more of a board game, but
yeah, I dislike that part of it because it's so you can be so imaginative in what you want to do and you know how you explore and how you look around things, but then when you get into combat, it's like okay, you roll your initiative rolls and then do I hit or do I not hit? Blah blah blah.
Well, there are different ways of actually playing it, especially in the later editions. Specifically, I'm very. Known with Pathfinder, because that's the edition I've been playing lately, and the edition we've been playing lately, they have advanced combat, which is an excellent way. It's perfect, because no longer does it become that whole initiative thing. I mean, you obviously roll your initiative, but it becomes less of the 20-sided die and becomes strictly percentages.
Well, I don't like that as much. I mean, you know, I like more the way they do it in our community, where you tell the DM what you want to do, and the DM rolls to see whether... It works.
Well, you can do that. That's where all your skill checks come in. Your acrobatics and everything else about it comes in.
Well, no,
play
I mean,
with that.
I mean the whole thing where okay, do I hit or not? And then you go through this round after round after round. So it ends up when you're fighting a character, you end up you get maybe in a night of 3 or 4 hours D&D, you maybe have two fights. It just becomes this thing.
That is only due to the fact that we have a big group. If we had a smaller group, it would be different. But the fact that we're playing with like 7-8 people, it becomes annoying and I can't tolerate it so much, so I have to do certain structure builds. Otherwise, you literally show up and you do one entire combat. I mean, that's why I didn't want that many people. I originally, when I asked for this new group, when I moved back to Pittsburgh, I said I wanted a small group that we can have fun with.
Well, I like having a large group because it means that it's a much, it's a, the social environment is
it is a social
considerably
environment.
More.
But I like having more of 4 or 5 people compared to us. We have anywhere from 7 to 9
people. No, we did. What was
the
last
people.
One? We did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There were 6 people there, right?
6 people, yep.
Yeah.
And that's not including me.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. That's when it becomes difficult. But, I mean, I'm always open to different ways of playing, so...
I don't know, Jeff, you've been a little bit out of this.
I say we get him to play. We should have a craft beer radio post-show D&D.
I can't come to a weekly or monthly D&D.
Trust me, I have trouble doing a weekly. I'm always canceling left and right.
You know, I would be up for it if, you know, if it wasn't something I had to schedule time for and go somewhere and mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing.
And that's the thing, you can't do it within an hour. You need at least 4 hours of playing.
Yeah, so okay. it's just not in my in the cards for me.
In your agenda.
It sounds fun, sounds interesting. I've been playing a MUD
right back.
Recently.
A MUD?
It's a computer game, okay. multi-user dungeon, it's a role-playing game. It's
okay.
It's a lot like D&D, right? Where start off and you can't even kill a bumblebee, right? You know?
Yeah.
And you have to build up. You gain experience points and you level up and you get more skills and you can learn more spells and you get stronger and you just work through. And it's, you ever play an adventure game on a computer, you know, it's like, it's all text and it's like, you know, you walk into the room and there's an altar in the center and there's exits to the north, west, and south and, you know, that kind of thing. And there's a spider on the wall, you know, kill spider. Oh, spider bites you, you die.
Yeah.
Because you're not, you know, but you know, everyone has hit points, and it's so like the battle. I don't know how this battle compares so much to the battle in D&D, right? But I mean, it simulates dice rolls every single
pause
time.
And stop that whole where it's like a pause game, and then the battle takes like 10 minutes. But in
well, the battle, I mean, it doesn't take that long okay. for it's. But you don't really know how strong the person you're battling is without experience, right? There's a consider command where you can say, I'll tell you, you're a good match or easy peasy, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, like, say you're fighting someone who's just about on par with you, right? Or maybe even stronger than you, but if you use the right spells, you can knock them down, right? Mm-hmm. You don't know how close you are, and you're really close to dying. So, like, do you flee?
Or do you risk it?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the thing with video games. I'm not a big video game player. I don't have a PS3. I do not have an Xbox 360 or anything like that. I have a Wii only because
like so this
gift.
MUD it's old school internet.
I'm into
it's,
old
it's
school.
All it's all text, right? Mm-hmm. Here, let me show. I mean, I can.
That's the thing about video games. I do go in my spurts where maybe like once a year I'll literally have 2 weeks where I want to play a video game, but I always go to a website called GOG.com. It stands for GoodOldGames.com, and I will download an old game that I played when I was younger, and text games.
So here's the MUD, right? So. Got a map going up here. Text, here's the room description. I'm outside the circus. We'll buy a ticket and go into the circus. And, okay, we got a lanky man. We got a happy male clown and another lanky man. So let's kick the lanky man, right? And we'll start fighting him and probably in like 8 or 9 turns.
I designed a website like that when I was like 13. No joke. I can't remember what it was called, but my friend Mike and I, we tried designing that and we actually got it going. We had like 20 of us playing it and that was it. It was one of those games.
Look up that game. One of the best games. Very early 90s game.
I'm really into those games because the storyline to me was so
the
much...
The story is great.
The storylines are so much
are
better
awesome.
Older than... It was less action-packed.
Yeah.
I like pause games where whenever you come into combat, you hit pause and then you have to strategize.
This is more, you know, it's a space fighting game on one end, but there's a lot of characters and a lot
there
of...
There was a game that I recently... Because like I said, about once a year I go on a game spurt and sometimes twice, but for most part it's once. And recently I played an old game called Might and Magic, The Mandate of Heaven.
Yeah, okay. Those...
Old 1998 or 99 was when that came out. And it's a lot of text where I'm actually reading paragraphs of paragraphs of paragraphs for detailed. It wasn't voice animated stuff, which I enjoy that because then I feel a little bit better about myself because it's like, oh, okay, I'm actually doing something rather than watching digital acting. And then the fact that you had to strategize because it's a hard fucking game. It is hard, but I get over it in 2 weeks, and I go back to reality, and I realize that I got behind on a lot of school work, and I was kind of like, oh, Shit.
Well, this game is it's available for free. It originally was called Star Control 2.
Is it on?
It's available free. Just look. Just search for that.
Google it. All right.
But it's a fantastic game. One of my favorite games of all time, and I think it still holds up today.
That's what Might and Magic was. I mean, I was playing it, and obviously I'm a lot better than what I was 10 years ago because I was a lot younger.
It's a big exploration game. There's lots of so many different facets to the game. There's exploration. There's diplomacy. There's combat. Mm-hmm. There's resource gathering. There's
Now, since we're talking about video games, I'm going to bring up a topic that I think will fit well with the Push Show. Video games and the consistency of violence in young kids. What do you think? Does it correlate together or no?
No.
Okay. I'm going to play the no, and I'll probably pull like the devil's advocate on you guys, but I'm not going to choose a side right now. What do you think? You think there's a correlation between violent games?
I think I remember.
No, I don't.
I don't remember, but I know reading in the 70s there was a huge thing about how comic books were causing lots of problems, and then in the 80s Dungeons and Dragons
Now, do you think that it is just like a reason to blame something? Just like with the metal music, they instantly find one kid that like Marilyn Manson that shot up an entire high school, and now they're going to blame Marilyn Manson
for
his
music? Do I think that there is an oversaturation of violence in video games today? Yes. Do I think that that is causing people to be violent? No. I think that's simply reflective of the culture we have today. And so if our culture was less violent, then we would see less violent video games.
Now, there's also the theory or the discussion going around saying that the violence has always been there, but the media just shows it more. What would you say about that?
The media does a huge amount of sanitation of violence, as a matter of fact. In terms of what they see in like the Middle East, when news reports of when bombings happen and they show all the blood and guts and all the other stuff, we don't see that on our media. We don't see the kind of stuff that they see in other countries. So I would say the media does an amazing amount of sanitation of violence.
Really?
In terms of the ramifications of violence, let me put it that way. They sensationalize the fact that violence took place, but then don't actually show the ramifications. Like, they will not show, like, they will sensationalize and have, if there's a
school. Now, is that Western culture or just American culture?
I think it's primarily American culture, but I think it's mostly Western culture. But if there's a school shooting, let's say, so, something horrible.
Most recent, the Colorado shooting.
Yeah, okay, so
it would have been the Connecticut shooting for schools.
Yeah, so, a dozen or more people are killed. They will have people ringing the building, and they will have constant reports for 2 or 3 days, perhaps about the person who was doing it and what he was using, but they will never show a picture inside. They will never show...
They might show the black and white video camera of him walking through the hallway.
But they won't show somebody shooting.
They won't show actual ramifications.
Yeah.
And that,
they'll just show the guy walking.
Yeah. And that is, I think, a problem because, in some sense, there's the idea that if... Well, there's competing ideas here. One is that if you expose somebody to how horrible it is, then they're less likely to think it's cool and they're more likely to think it's horrible. But there's also the idea that you can make it so people are so desensitized to it that it stops being...
Well, do you think violence is becoming extremely desensitized in America?
I think that there is...
It's becoming more acceptable?
I think there's a culture, particularly around guns, that is troubling. I don't think that guns themselves are bad things, but I think that the culture that has arisen around guns and gun ownership right now is troubling to me. But I don't know how that will manifest.
I mean, because you're also talking about with the school shootings, how they never show any of the true violence, and... Things came out with the Connecticut shooting saying that it was a completely conspiracy. That it was a government conspiracy
to
try and shut down guns from taking them away from the people.
There's always going to be people who latch on to conspiracies. Always. There's always going to be your Alex Joneses.
This is your show and you're quite quiet over there.
No, it's okay. I'm just waiting, thinking.
Yeah, Jeff is pondering. Do you have any thoughts right now? I mean,
I'm working on one. I don't have anything formed yet.
I mean, do you?
I like having three people, and I can sit back and really form my thoughts. So.
That's the question. I mean, do you agree that there is something troubling about the current fetishization of
I think culture? That's a great way you just put
fantasization. I don't know, right? I mean, I will say that, you know, it seems silly that, you know, and this is not an original comment, but it's silly how acceptable violence is and how unacceptable sex and nudity is.
Yeah.
And sexuality is. That's ridiculous.
When sex is one of the most healthy things we can do.
Right. As far as violence and conditioning people to do bad, I'm a lot more up in the air on that. I mean, you know, think back to, you know, the ridiculous stuff like where the kid makes a handgun and gets expelled, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's ridiculous.
But I mean, even go back further. I mean, I don't know, back further. I really don't have a well thought out argument here. But I mean, boys play guns.
Yeah.
Yes.
Boys play guns. Dude, I mean, Max so played. Yeah. You know, it's like it's just part of. It's for some reason the combat is part of play.
Well,
and
yeah, if guns weren't invented, boys would play swords.
Yeah, you mentioned how like with like the whole like sex and guns, sex and violence. Ryan Gosling had two movies that went out. Same as like Tom. I honestly don't know the titles of the movies right now. But he had one movie where he basically beat his girlfriend and like basically forced her into being with him. And then the other movie, he had consensual sex with her. The one with consensual sex was rated R. The one with the beating and violent acts was rated PG-13. And Ryan Gosling came out on the scene saying, "I do not understand the fact that when two people are consensually making love, that is considered a bad thing. And why is it rated far more harsh rather than the man who is dominating his girlfriend and forcing her into violent acts is more viewable for younger children?"
Well, that's more of a thing on the MPA rating board. Which
there's a movie you should watch called "This Movie Is Not Yet Rated," which is about
insane
about that thing about the MPAA Netflix? Itself. I believe it might be on Netflix.
I would check it. Yeah. Netflix has a lot of great documents. Yeah.
But the way the ratings and the people who choose ratings, it's insane.
There's a small group of people who choose ratings, and they're not disclosed who they are, but it's like. It's a bunch of like people in their 50s, like
D-bags.
There's no regulation behind. I mean, for the MPAA is a voluntary system, for sure.
And there's not like there's. I mean, there's not even valid guidelines. Like you could imagine for a movie producer or something like that, you are shooting for a certain rating. It costs money. If you don't hit that rating, yet it's a moving target, right? You really don't know what your rating is going to be. It's difficult. I mean, other than you playing it way safe, but if you're trying to get up to the line and not go over it, you know, you can't get any pre-guidance, you know? It's once the movie is edited, you submit it for a rating, and then you get back. It's like, it's a black box. It gives you a report.
Well, sometimes they give you things like, if you change this and change this and change this, then you can lower it, and that makes it weird too, because then you have to figure out ways to change things without actually changing the overall story, mm-hmm. or you know, without changing the impact of what you're trying to do. You know, South Park I think did the best when it's the South Park movie was originally called South Park South Park It All Goes to Hell, something mm-hmm. like that. And they came back saying you can't use hell in the title of your movie. They were like, what? What about Hellraiser, all that other stuff?
Hellboy.
You know? Yeah. You can't use hell in the title of your movie. And so what they did is every time the censors came to them, they came back and just made it longer and more ridiculous. So when they couldn't say South Park It All Goes to Hell, they went back with South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, you know, mm-hmm. making a circumcision joke.
I never knew they'd change that.
Yeah, and and the MPAA didn't catch it. And so they approved it, and then afterwards they realized, and, well, we already approved it. So every time there was a censorship in that movie, they just came back with a way to make it more obscene.
And cruel.
But just get it past the thing that the censors
are doing. Subtle cruel, like cruelty kind of thing. Or
like,
crude.
There was a shit-eating joke in the original movie, and they wouldn't have it, they wouldn't let it be on screen. So instead, they made the scene where the kids watch the shit-eating joke like last a minute. So they took all these things. You know, they had the best attitude towards it, which is okay. Every time we're going to send back something worse, and you know, but just hide it in just enough way that they'll approve it. And so that's how they managed to get under NC-17 in South.
Sounds expensive, right? You know, recutting it, submitting it, waiting for it to come back.
Yeah. South Park in Canada.
I mean, South Park guys don't care.
That's the thing about with speaking of South Park, when they were doing that whole Muhammad episode where they weren't even insulting him.
Yeah.
They were just showing him. And then they got terroristic threats and they were Comedy Central was going to pull the episode, and then South, like Trey Parker and Matt Stone, went on saying, look, if you pull this episode, we will drop you, go to Adult Swim, because our fans will follow us no matter where we are.
Well, no, they can't do that. Comedy Central owns South.
Yeah. Well, that's what I heard, that they were going to do that. Regardless, though, they still couldn't pull the episode because...
Well, they did. I mean, the episode...
They didn't pull it. They just bleeped the shit ton out of it.
Yeah, they bleeped the shit out of it. And it's not available on
and
streaming.
And now it's no longer available.
Yeah. It is available on the DVDs.
Censored or uncensored?
Censored.
What does Psy have to say about this?
What? So, oh. So yeah.
Let's consult Psy, the Oracle.
All of my stories, they're 95% truthful.
That wasn't racist enough. What the fuck?
So this is a Duck Dynasty character?
Yeah, never seen an episode.
I've never seen an episode either, but this is...
He's the guy that got the show shelved because he made all the racist comments.
Well, he made a racist comment. Who was the guy that talked about gays? Who was really surprised that he was against gays? He's an old redneck. Who was really surprised
that
he was
there.
Against gays?
Yep, so that was on sale for a dollar. Down from $24.99.
It was $24. So $1 is a steal. Because costs about a dollar to make, so you know.
Even if you have to listen to ZZ Top every time you hit the damn button.
Hi.
Oh, battery's getting low.
Now, that's probably what he sounds like, actually.
Yeah. Racist and burp DB. Yeah, I saw that. We saw that. We had to buy it for Greg because we were chatting about Duck Dynasty and what absurd.
Speaking of
absurd, that's the thing that's sad about most TV today, which is another good example on why I don't watch it, is that they just constantly throw out reality shows because they're cheap.
Did you make him watch the advanced Dungeons and Dragons yet?
No. Mm-hmm. I don't think you've watched the original Dungeons and Dragons Community episode.
No, I have not.
I got it.
Never had time.
Make him watch it.
Did you see, speaking of religious nonsense, did you just see that there are two religious nonsense movies out right now? Well, one is...
The one of Jesus Christ and the whole birth of him and stuff. I mean, not the birth, but the whole, like, redo of the Passion of the Christ without the cruelty.
Well, there's that.
That one just came out, like, a month ago.
Yeah, but there's one that also came out, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago called God's Not Dead, which is...
Really?
Yeah, which is, you know, it's a much smaller movie.
You know what? I think I've heard of this one. Yeah. It was a B-movie, straight to DVD.
But, no, it actually, you know, it made some money because a lot of Christian...
Of course.
You know, there's a lot of people going... But it's such an absurd movie. So basically, it's about an atheist philosophy... you know, the guy does the philosophy 150 or something, you know, an intro to philosophy course. And he fights with a deeply Christian student on like, the first... And of course, the Christian ends up convincing him. But
Christian ends up convincing him?
Yeah. Because the atheist is only an atheist because he's mad at God.
So it's a fake.
It's total nonsense.
Yeah,
it's complete bullshit. But it's it's just gross. But the other one is Noah. The Noah movie is out.
And so that's three movies then.
But the Noah movie isn't really a
Because there was a Jesus movie that, yeah. I don't know what it's called.
Son of God, right?
Son of God, yeah, that's what it's called. It just came out about a month ago, and I know only because of the fact it was all over the Today
isn't
Show.
Isn't basically a cut of the Bible miniseries?
It's basically the Bible miniseries, which was actually very entertaining. I watched the first episode of that.
The Bible is a fascinating and interesting
it's
book.
It's a fascinating, interesting fiction novel.
Oh, it's great.
And it's a great way to live your life. Live your life. Be kind to your neighbors. I get that. No, you didn't just birth me from two people.
There's a lot of great stories in the Old Testament.
The New Testament gets a little more wacky. I prefer, I mean, the Jewish style of the Bible is a lot better.
But, so the Noah movie is Darren Aronofsky, who did Black Swan and Pi was his, and
The Life of Pi.
A much older movie. So you know, it's an interesting movie apparently because it takes the story of Noah and his own spin on it. Like, he doesn't actually talk to God, he just has visions. And
oh, really?
Yeah, and so there's...
I mean, it was Moses talked to a flaming bush.
It's much less Cecil D. Miller,
dude,
more...
wasn't tripping on acid.
You gotta think that, you know...
He found some nice shrooms.
Burning bush. I don't understand that God, in his infinite power, what he comes up with to communicate is a bush that is on fire.
I'm just going
to
be a bush on fire, rather than coming down as a ghost.
Rather than coming down as fucking, you know, an alien spaceship.
Even get me started on ancient alien shit. That garbage beyond belief.
No, but
I can't explain it with science, ancient aliens.
If you were God, right? If you were God and you wanted to
communicate...
The world
would be a desolate place.
And you wanted to communicate a message to your flock.
I would put jet planes in the air and write it out.
Yeah, you'd do something a lot more impressive than a burning bush, I imagine. Just knowing you as a DM, right? I mean, you'd think of some way to be a lot more impressive.
God's
than,
up there rolling the 100-sided dice.
Ah, like, shit, here we go.
No,
burning 41, bush.
41. That's, yeah, maybe a, that's got, a burning bush.
He probably got bored.
21. What's 21?
Then you go down. Man. Oh, shit. Burning bush today. All right.
That's
fantastic.
That's a 21.
But, I mean, one of my favorite, one of my favorite things from
sucks.
The Bible, which completely just is ridiculousness. I'm going to paraphrase the entire Bible for all those who are actually truly listening. Is the whole fact when Jesus goes off and...
I can paraphrase the entire Bible for you. God's a fucking dick.
Oh, yeah. Go see Children of Eden, the musical. It truly shows how much of a dick that he is. But, no, where Jesus is out in the desert and Satan appears as a snake. And he said, Jesus, if you are truly the Son of God, you will turn those stones into bread. And what does Jesus say? You will not tempt me, Satan, for I do not have to change those into bread because I do not need the temptation of food. I am here because I don't need that, basically. It's like, okay, so you're telling me you can't change rocks into bread. And then he does something else, and then later on he's like, if you are truly the Son of God, you will not die if you jump off and land at the bottom. Prove to me you're not the Son of God and jump. And he's like, I do not have to prove this to you.
Kind of like a roadrunner.
Yeah, where it's kind of, yeah, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, okay, so you're telling me, I'm trying to find out if you truly are the Son of God, and you're going to give me this whole, I don't need to prove to you anything. Come to me today and be like, I am the Son of God. You know what you're going to do? You're going to, A, call me crazy in today's modern day and age. You see that homeless dude on the street going, I talk to God. Satan is on his way. The apocalypse is occurring. What do? You throw shit at him and you tell him to get lost. Back then, it was a huge hot, you are a prophet.
Well, there is actually something called Jerusalem Syndrome, where a lot of people still go to Jerusalem and believe that they are the second, you know, they are the new Messiah or the, you know, another Jesus. Look it up. There's a Jerusalem Syndrome happens all the time.
You know what we get of that? We get 1980s Giant Suicide Massacre.
Oh, we get David Koresh. You know, he thought he was an incarnation of Jesus. We get the Heaven's Gate people. You think the Hellbop
Charlie Manson.
Sure. You know, you get Joseph Smith. You get...
the most American of all religions.
Yes.
Jesus did not occur. Any of that shit did not occur in the Middle East. It occurred right here in America.
The Garden of Eden was in Jackson America. County, Missouri.
Yeah. You can find those golden tablets. No one else can read them.
Uh-huh.
And then whenever people tell me to rewrite it...
Can you imagine how much golden tablets would weigh?
Especially since... I mean, but they fit into a top hat.
Yeah. Still, that... Still, if they're solid gold, they're heavy.
Yeah, I just like the whole fact. It's like you can't be this. You can't be reading this. You have to read it again and make sure it's exactly the same. God won't let me do that. Yeah. So I gotta rewrite it, and it'll be similar, but it won't be exact. Okay. Did you see the Book of Mormon on Broadway?
Yeah. Well, yes. I didn't see it on Broadway, but I saw a video of it on Broadway. So
it is fucking
It's great.
Incredible.
It's a great.
It is hysterical.
Would you like? I can get you the video.
Fuck you, God, in your ass, smelling cunt.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I heard the soundtrack, but I'll watch the video.
It's fun. It's a. It's
Oscar
really funny.
Ibuwai.
Hasadega Ibuwai.
Hasadega Ibuwai.
Yeah.
Fuck you, God, in your ass, smelling cunt.
I think I covered most of what I want to talk about. I watched the entire series of Hannibal so far, and I'm still not sure what I think about it.
What?
I don't know of what you're talking.
Of what?
Hannibal.
Oh, the TV series?
Yeah, the TV series. That's the...
I don't know.
It's...
I know of it, I just haven't watched
it. It's a very, very artistic... I wouldn't necessarily say it's procedural. It's kind of... It's more of a, but there are sort of procedural elements, but it's not really procedural. It's about Hannibal Lecter before
he got caught.
You know, Silence of the Lambs and stuff like that.
Well, that's what they said. The series finale is eventually going to lead up to.
Yeah, like
see, I mean, I only know this from the Today Show.
Yeah,
I've watched the Today Show every morning when I drink my coffee and practice.
Well, the idea, if it goes this long, you know, it doesn't get great ratings, but if it goes this long, Brian Fuller, the guy behind it, says that the idea is that season 4 would be the Red Dragon era, and season 5 would be Silence of the Lambs, and season 6 would be Hannibal in terms of the story.
I can't remember Red Dragon. Was Hannibal... Hannibal wasn't captured in Red
No, he
Dragon.
Was captured, yeah.
He was? Okay.
Yeah.
That's what... Okay. Yeah, I can't remember Red Dragon. I obviously remember Silence of the Lambs because it's obviously the best out of all of them. And the most original.
Yeah.
But
it won Best Picture that year, I
think. Yeah. Well, yeah. Red Dragon was still a good movie.
Red Dragon was okay.
I still liked it.
I've heard Manhunter's better.
I love South Park's rendition on Red Dragon. Do you see? I am here in Paris. Do you see?
I don't remember that.
It's an older episode.
I've seen all of them, but I don't remember that one.
Yeah, where he captures Cartman for being a psychic. And he's planting everyone else's murder around South Park on someone else when it was this dude all along.
I don't remember
and
that episode.
Cartman has a psychic battle with all the other criminal psychics around town.
I vaguely remember that part.
Yeah, when they're all like, yeah, that whole episode. That was that whole episode based around Red Dragon. It was a great episode. Jeff?
I don't watch South Park much, so...
You gotta play the game.
Sacrilege!
You gotta play the game.
I haven't seen Red Dragon.
I have not played the game yet. I've been too busy.
Yeah.
Why I threw another DM on. Because I canceled on you guys 3-4 times.
Yeah.
I felt bad.
I had something I wanted to mention. What were we talking about before? Silence of the Lambs. Oh! Remember the Time to Kill? Canceled. Well, at least. Remember that show that one was set in Pittsburgh, that serial killer thing? It was on A&E.
Oh, the thing that you were telling me about that was very Pittsburgh?
It was very Pittsburgh, but not good.
Yeah.
Actually, it got canceled. Well, it got shelved, and they were going to, you know, air it some other time. And then they moved over to Lifetime Movie Network.
Oof. That's a bad sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of TV shows, the only TV show I have been watching, and I'm trying to get through it as quickly as possible so I can get rid of it out of my life and not have to worry about it anymore, is Dexter. Now, you told me how bad it was.
You're going to be disappointed at the
season
end.
Season 1 and 2, fantastic. Season 3, a little slow.
I agree, season 1
season
and
2. Season 4 was, I honestly thought, was the best season out of
season
all of
4
them.
Was the one with
the FBI agent came back, and it had the older guy, I can't remember his name, but it's the Trinity Killer.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
That was...
Why can't I think of his name?
Incredible season. I can't remember
John,
the actor's name.
Lithgow.
His most recent movie, well, not most recent, but one of his more recent movies was The Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, no, the Lithgow one was good. You need to stop watching right now.
Yeah.
Because that was
incredible.
There
5 or 6 seasons?
8.
There were 7
eight.
Seasons.
Eight.
Seven.
Eight.
I thought there were 7.
8. Comcast says 8.
Well, don't watch the last season.
It only gets
don't,
worse.
Don't tell me this.
No.
Don't tell me.
No,
I have to
you.
Finish it. I will
no.
go down with the ship.
No. I'm like you.
I will go down with
you
the ship.
You will punch something if you watch the finale. It is...
Well, you know,
I don't
it was
know if
a
you...
book. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Until
yeah.
I finally saw it at the Jeff Lindsay. So I downloaded it. I read the first book in the first season. Yeah, it basically follows the book fairly well. I mean, I didn't
the first
read...
season does, but then it... Then
yeah,
it
yeah, that's what I mean. I read the first book. That was it, because I got it for free on Kindle. Amazon, great. Sorry, craft beer, I will put you on it.
Oh, we didn't do Amazon Anonymous. Thank you for reminding us.
Amazon Anonymous.
All right. So what we do is we look at the purchases for the previous week, and we pick an item worth talking about.
Yeah, you can join in, too, if you want to. Here,
I'm excited. I see Hunger Games. I am no longer excited.
That was
disappeared.
Just,
good.
So,
Hunger Games was probably... I read the first Hunger Games, because I actually liked the movies, and the first Hunger Games was the worst book I have... Well, maybe that's saying a lot, but it was one of the worst books I've ever read, just due to the fact that it was like a 5-year-old that wrote it.
Come here, take a look at this and see if you find anything interesting on this list. Don't read them out yet. Just...
Really?
Go ahead and search by. See if you find anything.
And between that one and that one,
there's more.
Oh, I didn't see. They weren't coming down.
So yeah, keep looking. There's a lot of interesting stuff on this. Always, I mean, that's the thing. The nice thing about Amazon Anonymous, we can tell what people buy, but we can't tell who it is. So.
That's pretty funny. But I still like the top one.
All right. So what did you choose, Nick?
It was a tough choice because there was quite a lot of bizarre things, but I'm going with the Dockers Men's 6-piece white hanky set. White one size.
Well, I mean, if you want to look real dapper... Then
dapper.
You want to get yourself some handkerchiefs,
I
right?
would think more exquisite.
Dapper.
I kind of like that one better than dapper. Dapper makes me sound fairy.
Really?
I don't know.
I don't know. I like dapper.
I'm
nothing
not
gay about dapper.
No, there's nothing wrong. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
If you want to look really fine, really nice, then you need a handkerchief. You know, all put up into a nice...
I don't know. I'm not. I was a jazz performance major, so we don't deal with that whole dressing up. It's really funny. You watch us.
I mean,
all we cared about back in the day was just straight heroin and playing music. So we like our black tar heroin, Mexican black tar.
Well, someone was really getting all spiffed up, right? Someone bought the hankies, some nice patent leather shoes, a nice pen to go with it. Someone's getting their. Wardrobe together.
Nice. Being all Paul F. Tompkins about it.
Do you have your item, Greg?
No, go ahead.
Alright, so I haven't got through the whole list yet, but there is an item that's just too cool not to mention. And I need to find it again. The Ian Sinclair... Card Sharp 2 Authentic Credit Card Sized Folding Knife with Black Blade and Serial Number. $3.42 plus free shipping. you save $22.57. It's ultra thin, 2.2 millimeters thick, lightweight, 13 grams. Blade edges protected when stored in wallet or kit. Surgical blade technology with a long 65 millimeter cutting edge ensures longer lasting sharpness. Authentic Elan Sinclair with serial number on each card. All right. So this
what's
is,
the deal? So just tell us.
It's the size of a business card that you put in your wallet, but it is a fold up pocket knife. So you can keep a knife in your wallet.
What's in your wallet?
Hold on. You're trying to rob me? All right, hold on 1 second. Well, let me pull out my credit card here and fuck off.
Pretty badass. I want to look at the reviews on this guy.
All right, so my pick
is... You know what's funny? Is it's frequently bought with... It's frequently bought with this.
Jeff is pulling something out of his box of tricks. It's frequently bought with something Jeff can't find.
I see a corkscrew.
Oh, that Jeff's little die-cast tool thingy.
It's like a 12-in-1 thing that fits in your wallet. It's a screwdriver and a wrench and a saw and a knife and a bottle opener and a...
How is it a screwdriver?
You can put the screw in these little holes and it...
There's a screwdriver somewhere.
You can do it... let's see, so...
Maybe it's not a screwdriver.
See?
Yeah,
exactly.
On the corner.
What, here?
No, the other corner. Gimme. The flattened corner that's not the bottle opener or the can opener.
Ah, right, yeah.
There's the screwdriver.
Okay, so it only does flathead, it does not do Phillips.
Oh, it fits in your credit card slot in your wallet. What do you want?
I wanted a Phillips. Oh, I mean, who really uses flatheads anymore? Okay, it's all about the Phillips or the Allen wrench. All
right, so
I'll say to wrap that around.
Reviews. I want to see the reviews on this guy.
So my pick is...
Hold on, I'm not done.
I know, but you're going through reviews and it takes forever.
No, I like doing reviews. It's 4 out of 5 stars, 284 reviews.
284 people.
Most
really
helpful customer
that?
Review, 1 star. Counterfeit alert. Bought 3 from name withheld, and they were all counterfeits. Maybe the seller knows, maybe they don't. Fortunately, they were fulfilled by Amazon, so returns are a snap.
How can they be
Because they're Ian not... Sinclair. The serial number. Something. I don't know. All right. Buyer beware. Support USA sends fakes. So cool, so sleek, so retro.
So cool.
Back in the 70s, I bought one of the Sinclair Kit digital watches. It actually got it working. I love the sleek black design and the watch. And the fact that for $19 I had a watch. So this guy's writing about a watch he bought in the 70s, but he's reviewing a
pocket knife.
Pocket knife.
Well, you'll right. see, Sonny okay. boy. That's our watches used to have knives.
That's
on.
Why I don't think you should read reviews. Cause
a cut above the rest, 5 stars. There are times in your life when you run across a product that captures your imagination and works really, really well. Go ahead.
Well, I don't like his review anymore because he obviously doesn't have an extensive vocabulary to portray anything other than really, really well.
I just played
the comma.
I just played
the comma. Right, as long as he used the comma, then he's okay.
Play Vision's Crayola Bath Drops with a Z.
Drops.
Apparently, they're...
Drops it like it's hot. Drop it up.
They, you drop them in the tub, and they get all fizzy, and they turn the water pink or blue.
Yeah,
or
right.
Yellow.
They color the water. The reason why I picked this is because it reminds me of something I saw where one of the guys behind Rick and Morty, Justin Roiland, did a thing where he took their friend and made a bathtub and it wasn't this, but it was some other thing that makes bathtub into like a gelatin type thing. And then you can put something else that would turn it back into water, but it looked like super gross, but also like something the kids would really enjoy.
It looks super gross, but also the kids will enjoy it.
Yeah, because it turns it into a goop that they're in. Kids love slime, so yeah. Let's see if I can find what it's called. It was something stupid, the name of it, but that's what it reminded me of.
All right.
That's Amazon Anonymous for this week.
Thank you, everybody.
Don't buy the counterfeit
the
business
counterfeit
card
pocket.
Knife.
It's called, knife, yeah.
It's called Jelly Baff.
Oh, that sounds gross.
Jelly is G-E-L-L-I and baff, B-A-F-F.
See, now that's a problem with English of today. Why so many illiterates
there,
are there?
There you go.
They automatically assume, oh, baff, it's B-A-F-F.
Turns water, this is the slogan, turns water into goo, dot, 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 and back again. So, yeah, jelly baff.
Give you some goo.
Or jelly baff. There's also smelly jelly baff.
That just reminds me, I was at Club Diesel last night.
So, yeah. So that will be the craft beer radio word.
Smelly jelly.
Smelly jelly bath.
Bath. B-A-F-F, I think.
Bath.
All right. Hey, I got a new TV.
Yes, you did.
Big old 60-inch hanging on the wall in there. It's
I still have a boob tube.
Pretty nice.
Very nice.
When I first set it up, I'm like, oh, it's fucking huge. I'm getting used to it, though. You get used to those.
Yeah, you get
TVs.
Used to those pretty quickly.
Well, the first day, I was like, oh, I could have bought something smaller. All right.
I think that's enough for this
right,
week.
All right,
thank you,
all
Nick,
right.
for joining us. It's
thank
been a
you
pleasure.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I've had a lot of fun.
Good. We had a lot of fun having you.
Hopefully everyone else enjoyed it.
Doubtful.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to be yelling at us to say never again, which means we're just going to bring you back more and more often. So,
second time around. So, 2015?
For every complaint we get about Nick, we're going to have him back twice. So,
so please, put the complaints. I get free beer.
All right.
All right, thanks, everybody.